always notes. If you don't have notes, you're going to fit. Huh? Jeff, will you pray for me?
Father, we just humble ourselves before you tonight. We just count it an honor and a privilege to meet and learn more about you tonight through the word. Thank you, God, for the worship. We ask you to speak through Spencer right now. Let the words that proceed from his mouth come directly from your throne. We ask this in your name.
Hey, you didn't pass out the Bibles.
Oh, sorry.
If you need a Bible, raise your hand. We got them. And if you have them, go ahead and turn to Psalms 23. He can barely carry it.
Spencer,
yo.
Speak up.
All right.
Any other takers of the Bibles?
Huh? Psalms 23. Come on, James. You need one for you too, right? Okay. Is everybody there at Psalms 23?
No.
Old Testament. All right, ready? I'm going to read it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, how many of y'all have only heard that Psalms at a funeral? Well, if you've been to a funeral, this is what they often use at a funeral. But God showed me this isn't a funeral Psalms. This is for us today. When David wrote this, he wasn't dead. He was alive, walking the earth. So we're going to go verse by verse and just discuss it. You know, he says, the Lord is my shepherd. Well, who's the shepherd? Jesus. Turn to John 10. We're going to read 11 through 16. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Everybody there? No.
What'd you say?
John 10, 11 through 16. Fourth book of the New Testament. I'm going to read it. It says, I am the good shepherd. This is Jesus speaking. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. So when you're following somebody other than Jesus, guess what? When the trouble comes, what are they going to do? They're going to run. They don't got your back. Not like Jesus has our back. He says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. What did He do on the cross for us? He laid down His life. He is the shepherd. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also must I bring. and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. So you have everybody saying there's many ways to God, but David knew there was only one shepherd. He didn't say the Lords are my shepherds. He said the Lord is my shepherd. There's only one, the good shepherd. And guys, if you don't know Jesus, he knows who are his own. We can't fake it. We can fake it in front of each other, but when God comes along, guess what? There's no games with him. You know, it says, I shall not want. What does a good shepherd do for his sheep? He provides everything for them. When you're in want of nothing, when you follow God, he tells us those who are his will never have to worry about hunger or clothing. Did y'all know that? He says, you know the example he uses? He says, look at the birds of the field. Do they go hungry? They never go hungry. Why is that? God provides. You know, when Jesus is our shepherd, we will not want for anything. That doesn't mean... Bless you. When it says we don't want, it's not like saying, I want it. PlayStation 3, that's not what he's talking about. He's saying everything physically and spiritually that you need, he will provide. But if he's not your shepherd, guess what? You got to turn it over to him. It says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. What would y'all consider when you hear, like, when I read this, green pastures, that means like bountiful, you know? If it's a barren field, would you take your sheep to a barren field where there's nothing to eat? What would happen to them? Like in Texas, they're in a drought right now. The cattle are dying. There's no green pastures there. But with Jesus, he is, you know, he leads us. In Psalms 119, it says, he is a light unto my path, you know. He directs us. When he's our shepherd, when we put his word in, he directs us. The sheep, it's like this. When the sheep are following the shepherd, he feeds them. What happens if they don't eat what the shepherd's feeding? They're going to dry up. Jesus is our shepherd. He feeds us his word and his spirit. But what happens when we deny it? Do we grow? We become slothful, which means our lights grow dimmer. We sung tonight, we want to shine, right? Do we mean it? We sing it. You know, I've been talking about loyalty at our youth group, you know, and it says, I talked about Peter. He proclaimed loyalty to Jesus before Jesus got arrested. He said, I'll die for you. Well, what happened when the true test came? He denied him three times. So when you say you're loyal to somebody, when that tough time comes, you don't deny him. And Jesus, he says he will never, you know, he'll never leave us nor forsake us. The good shepherd, if you read the Old Testament, it talks about David. When he went up to battle Goliath, he was 9'9", something like that. And David was just probably your size, real small, had a sling. But basically, David came up and said, you're letting this guy talk about my God? He said, he's already delivered me from a bear and a lion. He was the good shepherd. David was a shepherd. He watched his sheep. When the bear came along, he killed it with his bare hands. Yeah, the lion came along. I think he grabbed it by its mange or something and just tore it up. So when he came up to Goliath, he's like, you serious? This is all you got to offer? So when he's our shepherd, what should we be afraid of anything? No. We shouldn't. Who won? David won. But not because of his own might. God's might. Huh? Oh. Well, we'll go over that one night. It says he restores... He leads me beside the still waters. What do y'all think about when you think of still waters? Is a shepherd going to lead his sheep up to a river that's raging? Because what happens when they don't pull their neck up out of the water? It's just going to sweep them away. It's stillness. He is peace. Jesus says he is peace. What happened in the boat? You know, when the disciples were freaking out, they're crossing over to the land of the Gadarenes. And a storm, Satan sent that storm. And everybody in the boat was freaking out. They're like, how can Jesus be sleeping right there? They didn't realize the Prince of Peace was sleeping because He is peace. There's nothing to worry about when he's your shepherd. Do you remember what he said when he got up? He said, oh, come on, guys. Is that what he said? What he said, peace be still. He spoke it and it was. That same power that was then is now too. When you go through storms in life, guess what? Think about that hurricane out there. What's in the eye? Total peace. Storm raging all around it. When we're with Jesus, we're in that eye. Though the storms may rage around us, guess what? There's peace. But if we're not eating what he's providing, what is there? Satan's going to come and put doubts in our mind and speak doubts into our mind, and then we'll start listening to friends who aren't Christians, and then we'll start watching TV and Dr. Phil and listen to his opinions. And the whole time Jesus is saying, here's the gate. Come in, follow me. I'm the shepherd. I'll take care of you. You know, I mean, when you go through trials in life, there's been some things we've gone through lately. You know, we had a miscarriage in December. Then my wife's mom, she got cancer, like back to back. And then Josh, they had the same issue. So it was like Satan was hammering hard to destroy our peace. But guess what? God's faithful. He cannot lie. And because I know that, and I know that he's faithful, I can never turn my back on him. You know, Jesus spoke it and he meant it. And now she's pregnant. Josh's wife is pregnant. When God spoke to Mickey, he cannot lie. That's our peace. We know that these words are truth. I'm sure there's other people who have gone through sit. I know Chuck, he had, Tommy was swelling up. He prayed it up to Jesus. Swelling went away. That's peace. Because if you didn't have peace, you're not praying to God. When you don't have peace, if you don't know who the Prince of Peace is, why would you pray to him? You know, I think about the soldiers over there fighting wars. I can only imagine they're facing physical warfare. Guess what? We're in a battle each day, spiritually. There's no peace over in the Middle East. But guess what? When Jesus is your shepherd, you can be in the midst of that battle. You put on his peace, and Satan cannot prosper. You know, it says he restores my soul. Why would he need to restore our soul if we weren't at the bottom already? You know, somebody want to read 2 Corinthians 5:17? Acts, Romans, Corinthians. You got it?
Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come.
That's restoring our soul. Before Christ, we're dead. In Christ, we're a brand new creation. To me, when you restore something, you make it new. When you take vehicles and his vehicle out there looks brand new. With Christ, there's not like brand new, it is brand new. And it says he leads me to righteousness. And for that I got Romans 8, 14 through 17. Eight, 14 through 17, yeah. You got it, Piper? Read it loud.
For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of sonship. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is the Spirit himself bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Is that
it? So what happens when we're a son of God? What is he leading us to? We don't have, our righteousness is as filthy rags. That's what Isaiah said. So when we try to do something on our own, is there any righteousness involved? When we put on Christ, we're righteous because he's righteous. But it's not our, he puts that righteousness on us. And that's sort of hard to fathom because he's so holy and we're not. But if he says it, it's true. You know, we're a new creation. He puts that righteousness in us. And when we're up there in heaven with him, guess what? We're surrounded by that righteousness. I think that's pretty awesome. And it's all for his name's sake. Never does he says, come to me so I can... It's always about him. It says, let him who glory, glory in the Lord. So when you lead somebody to Christ, don't pat yourself on the back. Thank the Holy Spirit. It's always for his name's sake. And guys, when we get away from that and we start thinking we're doing something for God, yeah. I used to think like, oh, let me do this. God doesn't need me. He tells me what to do. He doesn't need me to think what I might need to do. We need to go to the Spirit. He leads us. It's like people going, you hear them going to other countries saying, I'm going over there to show people who Jesus is. That's great, but what's your motivation? Is it personal or is it for him? Because guess what? If it's not for his glory, you're in it for the wrong reasons. That's all of us. If we go out here thinking, well, let me go tell three people about Jesus today and I'll be good. Guess what? That's not for his glory. It says, as the Spirit moves, you move. Just like Piper had the person pray for him. Spirit told him to pray for it, right? Was it you they prayed for? Now, if she didn't listen to the Spirit, God would have said, well, I'll just send somebody else. It was a guy? Okay, well, when the Spirit speaks to you, don't blow that opportunity. It might not come again. Because he says, what does he say, guys, when it says, if you're faithful with the little, what happens? He'll give you more. Show that you're faithful to him. What was that? And this is the verse 4 for me is like the best verse of this Psalms. You know, it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You can insert anything in here. To me, I was like, yea, though I walk through the hallways of Fletcher. Think about it. Really. Death isn't like you. It's not physical death he's fearing. Spiritual death. Why did David get so sad? It wasn't physical death. It was when he knew he broke God's heart. This was a man after God's own heart, and when he sinned against him, he realized how horrendous the sin against God was. You know, we take sin so lightly sometimes, and we just go, yeah, well, God will forgive us. That's not what God says. He says, I want you to turn from that sin. You start following him, you start walking in this world, we're surrounded by death. If you're not saved, you're dead. It's as simple as that. Think about the thief on the cross. There are two other thieves. There are two thieves on the cross next to Jesus. One condemned Jesus. He was dead. What did the other guy do? He acknowledged who Jesus was and says, remember me. So I could see him, though I sit on this cross next to Jesus, I know what happens when I die. I'll be with him in paradise. And Jesus told him as much, today you'll be with me in paradise. Now how? That's what, when you come to Christ through his salvation, to me, that's what he's saying. Paradise is guaranteed, but does that mean we just stop, become the frozen chosen, as Mickey said? If Paul would have been on the road to Damascus and just said, okay, I had a conversion and just went back to wherever, we wouldn't have most of this New Testament. You know, it says, I will fear no evil. Does anybody know what God says about fear and evil? In 2 Timothy says, I did not give you a spirit of fear, but of one of love, power, and a sound mind. When you're his, fear has no place. At the name of Jesus, fear has no place. We can be afraid, and guess what? Satan loves that. Because when we're afraid, it takes away from what Jesus... Look, Jesus took all the fear in that cup, all the sins of the world. At one time, he nailed it to that cross. All the fear. Because before Jesus, these guys, they had to perform rituals and all that in hopes of getting eternal life. Hopes. They weren't assured it. With Jesus, he assured it. God told him to do it. Jesus said, you know what? This isn't going to be fun, but you know what? Satan, you can take your fear and hit the road. And when you have doubts and fears arise, you know what you need to do? You need to go to him in prayer. That's the first thing you should do. That's one of the most, when we talk about the armor of God, prayer is the last one mentioned. There's a reason. That's the most powerful. You know, a couple of times the disciples came to Jesus and said, hey, we couldn't heal them. We laid hands on them and all that. And Jesus says, some things only prayer can take care of. So how important is prayer then? Jesus went three times, and you know, the night he was betrayed, three times he went and said, Father, if this cup could pass, but not my will, but thine. You know, so I don't think Jesus, he didn't fear evil. Evil had no room to be, but when he said he was tempted in the wilderness, y'all remember what the last temptation was? You know, Satan was running his mouth, and finally Jesus said, you know what? Man shall not live by bread alone. You know, I am the Lord. You shall honor you. I am God. Flee. Satan had no choice but to go. You know, it says, for he is with us. You know, Jesus says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Never. It's impossible for Jesus to go back on his word. We talked about that the other night. Impossible. That means he cannot do it. It says he is faithful even when we're faithless. How often are we faithless in this world? You know, who was it? Well, I think it might have been the Roman centurion or one of them. The kid was sick. And he asked, he says, I have a lot of faith, but Jesus, help me for my unbelief. He lost a little faith. But you can turn that unbelief into this. When Satan throws something at you, say, I don't believe it because Jesus said. Don't let the unbelief be used by Satan. Let that unbelief be used by God. When Satan says something, you say, guess what, Satan? I don't believe it. Turn it back on him because there's nothing he can say against this word. He might try to send people in your past be like snakes, and are on TV. They're smooth talkers, but what they're preaching isn't this gospel. Because they want to preach something about prosperity. I don't need earthly treasures. I got Jesus. That's prosperity to me. He has something in store for all of us who are his that we can't even fathom. We can't. You know, when Paul went to the third heaven, he couldn't even write it down. He couldn't even write it down because I don't know if God didn't want him to write it or he just didn't have human words to explain it to what he saw. And to me, that's awesome. We have no idea yet. You know, I got Galatians 2:20. It says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but not I, but Christ liveth in me. For the life I now live, I live by the faith in the Son of God, whom loved me and died for me. That's why you shouldn't have any fear. We're crucified with him. And guess what? That tomb's still empty. It's been empty since that third day, and it will never be filled. And that's something that Satan can't deny. And the Romans couldn't deny it. And the Jews couldn't deny it. And so no matter what people tell you, they don't have to believe if Jesus rose from it. He did. You don't have to believe it, but he did. And that should be our comfort. When we're walking through the hallways at school, through the mall, we're surrounded by the enemy. How do we overcome the enemy? Through his word. The blood of Jesus covers everything. And so when somebody comes against you, speaking bad against you, show them the love of God. What does it say? Love conquers all. Jesus conquers all. If you respond to somebody nasty, Satan's getting exactly what he wants out of you. He says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. What do y'all think about like a rod? I think of like a weapon. Like when Satan's coming up, he can just smack them. Or a staff. What did Moses have? Yeah.
Like Yoda?
Huh? Not quite like.
No, Yoda.
I know. Yeah, but Yoda's staff didn't turn into a snake.
Yeah, but Yoda could do a double backflip at 900 years old. That's pretty sweet.
If he was real, that would be pretty cool.
That would be cool if he had 900 years old. I'll fly around.
Oh my gosh, you're nuts. Anyways. Yeah. Jesus walked on water. Did Yoda walk on water?
If you get floated, then you need a force.
Jesus is the force. There's only one force in this world, and that's Jesus. Right? So when we have his rod and staff to lean on, when you have a staff that's for like hiking, you know, you lean on it. What is, Jesus is that foundation. He is the staff. You know, when a shepherd, that's what a shepherd, they had a shepherd's hook to pull the sheep back in. So that rod, you know, it talks about chasing in the Bible. It says, spare the rod, spoil the child. You know, some of y'all probably could use a little bit more rod, but. But when you're his child, guess what? He doesn't spare the rod. When we're truly his, and we decide to say, let me wander out of this gate, guess what? That rod's coming. And just because it doesn't happen right away, don't get, a lot of people get real prideful and say, well, I got away with it. There you go.
Yeah.
That's all. Better not turn into a snake.
Yeah, you don't pop off now. You get
started. See that? See this? So if this is my staff and I'm leaning on it, why would I need to lean on a staff? Because we're weak. Without Jesus, we're weak. We're nothing without God. Right? He is this staff. And more. That's what Moses had. He touched the water and the Red Sea departed. You think it was the stick that did it?
God.
It was the God of the stick. Yeah. He created it. Right? You think it's a by chance that he just mentioned a staff? What is a staff made out of? Wood. What's the cross made out of?
Wood.
What's the foundation of Christianity? Well, the cross. The cross, right? If you don't have a cross, you don't have a Jesus. You know, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, where's Christianity? Dead works. It'd be dead works. It all starts with... Hey, God uses wood throughout the whole Bible. With Elijah, he put some wood for a sacrifice and God sent down the fire and consumed it. And that was an example. Think, what was the ark made out of? Wood. You can't, I mean, it goes on and on, so.
Jesus was a carpenter.
Hey, say it. Was it by chance that Jesus was a carpenter? There's no chances. There's no luck involved.
It's all wood.
Hey, it's not the wood that saves. It's Jesus that saves. But for him to be, think about this, for him being a carpenter, what does a carpenter do? He makes things with his hands, right? What does Jesus say? I make all things new. I think it was God's, yeah. It was God's plan for Jesus to be a carpenter, as funny as that sounds, but I think had he not been a carpenter, who knows? That's pretty important stuff. A lot of people overlook the fact that he was a carpenter, but I was thinking about that a few weeks ago, and carpenter makes everything with their hands. Jesus had to save us through his hands on the cross, right? Without his hands, I mean, yeah. And then, you know, it's talking about strength and stability through God. In Zechariah 4:6, he says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. So we think we're strong, we work out and all that. That ain't nothing to God. He's not a respecter of persons. He wants somebody who's seeking him with their whole heart. When you rely on him with your whole heart, guess what? There is strength. You know, we sing about let the church proclaim. Guess what? We're the church. You know what church means? The chosen ones. We're the chosen ones. God chose us for a reason. He didn't choose us to go sit in our room and not spread his word. Right? It's easy to not spread his word, right? Because a fear creeps in. But guess what? The more you spread his word, the more you feel that spirit grow.
That's right.
You know, you got to water the plant for it to grow. But some people are cactuses and they don't train to water. Yeah. You know, it says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. How often is there peace in battle? I mean, when you're in a full raging battle, can you just go sit and eat? Like, there's some roast, you know, macaroni, potatoes, all of that good stuff.
Go meditate in the middle of war.
This is what God is saying. David said, God prepared a table for me when I was going through the storms of life. God, you know, God is our sustenance. When they're wandering through the desert for 40 years, they all say, oh, we don't like wandering in this desert. Guess what? They were fed every single day. They never went hungry. Their shoes never wore down. But yet they complain. How often are we like that? God can, He'll give us things that we need, but yet we'll still complain. Like some Piper might be like, oh, the waves, they're only 3 foot today, or I'm just joking with you, Piper. Huh?
3 foot's good for you.
Yeah, I know. So is there strength in the Lord?
Yes.
All right, then turn to 2 Corinthians 12:9. We're going to read what he says about it.
Well, I think I'm like right next to
you. You should be pretty close. Acts, Romans, Corinthians.
No.
Okay.
2 Corinthians.
What
chapter? 12:9. You gonna read it? Stand up and read it loud, because you got a small voice. So, 2 Corinthians 12:9.
Should I start reading it?
Whoever, just say it loud.
And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me.
That's right.
No,
that's good.
Okay.
What Paul's saying there is that here's Paul coming along, and he has a thorn in the flesh, they call it. Something that, I don't know, it could be cancer. Who knows? Broke, you know, a hip, displaced hip. And he's probably saying, God, could you please heal me of this? What does God say? Paul, in your weakness, I'm made strong. And this is, I you know, when it says he prepares a table for us, before our enemies, that's his strength. When we feel like we're at our weakness, when we turn solely to Christ, you know, we sing a song that says, you won't relent until you have it all. When he finally has our all, we're going to have that table. We'll be strong through him. You know, weakness has no place at the name of Jesus. What does it say? At his name every knee shall bow. So that's, how strong is that? He spoke the world into existence. So why would we not turn to that same power every time in our life, every day? Not just an hour every Sunday, but 24/7. Think about this, guys. The guys in the New Testament, when they met, we think an hour and a half's bad for meeting. These guys were worshiping, praising the Lord all day, like 7 days a week. That's crazy, huh? We can do other things. We can surf all day. We can watch football all day. Why is it so hard to pick up his word and read it? It says, you anoint my head with oil. You know what that means? Blessings. He'll bless us. We turn to him. It's in Proverbs. If somebody wants to read Proverbs 10:6, it's right before or after Psalms. You're in the New Testament. Okay, Reagan. Yeah, 10:6.
Blessings crown the head of the righteous, but violence overwhelms the mouth of the wicked.
So it says, blessings are on the head of the righteous. When we're in Christ, we have his righteousness, and therefore we have his blessings. I think that's pretty awesome. And it says, my cup runs over. Do you remember what he came to the lady at the well? What did he tell her? Does anybody remember?
If you drink my water, you'll have abundant life.
Yeah, he's like, you want to give me this water that doesn't satisfy, right? That's in John 7:38, if somebody wants to read that. He is the living water. Our God is the living water. It should be overflowing from within our soul.
38.
Yeah. Can you read it loud enough?
I think I can.
Okay.
Where is it? If I have it.
Loud.
And let the one who believes in me drink. As the scripture has said, out of the believer's heart shall follow rivers of living water.
So do you want to drink water that doesn't satisfy, or his water?
His water.
We say it, but do we mean it? That's the thing. Because we get fired up sometimes, we listen to the music and the spirit starts moving and the spirit's talking to us. We get fired up, then we go out those doors and we're right back into the same thing. And so we go ahead and turn off that faucet of living water that was just starting to flow through us. It's not a place we need to be, guys. You know, we think the ocean's strong. His living water is much stronger than any ocean. He spoke to the ocean to be still, and it was. So, I mean, it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We got two scriptures for this. Ephesians 2, 4 through 7, and Philippians 3, 20 through 21. Which way are you going? Ephesians 2, 4 through 7, and Philippians 3, 20 through 21. What? You've gone too far, dude. Philippians 3, 20 through 21. Does somebody have Ephesians? Ephesians 2, 4 through 7.
I'll read Ephesians.
I got it.
Okay, read it loud. 4 through 7. Stand up and turn around and face them. They can hear you better.
This. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
What does it say? It says, mercy shall follow me. So guess what? He's rich in mercy. And when we're his, that mercy's shown on us. All right? He's a God of mercy and salvation. If there is no mercy, why would you want to follow a God that's not merciful? Because we mess up every day, and if there is no mercy, where would we be? It wouldn't be good. We'd be squash bug, yeah. Squashed by his staff of wood. Who has Philippians 3, 20 through 21? You got it? Yeah, go ahead. Read it.
But our citizenship is in heaven, and it is from there that we are expecting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform the body of our humiliation that it may be conformed to the body of his glory by the power that is all that also enables him to make all things subject to him.
So when we come to Christ, where's our citizenship in? It's not in Jack's Beach anymore. It's in heaven. Right? That's right. Hallelujah. Praise God for that, because if there was no citizenship in heaven, there would really be no point in even picking up this Bible. Because separation from the Father in eternity, I mean, can you imagine? You know, God doesn't send anybody to hell. We send ourselves to hell. It's a choice we have to consciously make. You go right or left. He's the right way. You go left, not the right way. Right? How many people do you know that aren't going the right way? Have you told him about Jesus? He has so much to offer. You know, if you're in here in this room tonight and you don't know Jesus, it's time to give it up to him. It really is, because then what shall you fear? You will fear nothing. It's not saying that you won't have fears, but when the fears come, you can put them in their place and let them know who your God is. You know, when you're facing that giant that looks too big to conquer, God just say, just pick up that stone. That stone will take care of that. One stone, right in the middle of the forehead. And everybody ran. That's what the demons do. When you speak his word, I don't think they want to hear it too much. So if y'all want to go ahead and come up, I think everybody needs to make a choice tonight who they're going to follow. Do they want to follow the good shepherd? Or the shepherd of the world, which only leads to death?
I'll come look at the Bible before the Bible.
Meet tonight, brother.
It's the only thing that can come. Yeah.